Praise God. So wonderful to be in the house of the Lord tonight, and what good things God is doing, and wonderful services this weekend with Brother Hood, and we appreciate the ministry of Brother and Sister Hood. We're so glad that they're in the house with us tonight, and I don't know if you've been following our quizzers, but we've got a lot of folks out of town for Peak, and then a group of quizzers, and three of the teams were undefeated today, went through, Michael and, is it Michaela that quizzes with Michael? Michaela is a young lady from, I think, Tennessee, and she's been quizzing with us for a couple of years, and she and Michael are a force to be reckoned with, and they went undefeated all the way through the, what division are they in? The experience division, that's what they are, because they're experienced. And they went all the way through undefeated, and in the championship round met Buford, Georgia. And it was on, and in the first match they lost Buford, Georgia, but then they rose from the ashes of that defeat, and then they beat them in the next round. And Michael and Michaela are the champions of the national quizzing competition there in Tulsa. Isn't that wonderful? And that's wonderful for a lot of reasons, but if you know Michael's story, then it's just off the charts, astronomical, powerful mercies of God. And look at God, and look at God's deliverance, and look at what God does with a neighborhood kid that gets a ride to church with an apostolic neighbor and then decides, I'm going to do this no matter if any of my family has ever done this before. I'm going to do this, and look at what God's doing with him. And we are so charged and excited about Michael and all of our young people. And you want to be in prayer for those that are traveling. Every week during the summer, we'll have folks on the road. Remember them. We'll remember you when it's you. And it's a great, great day to be alive in the kingdom of God. So I appreciate all the good worship and the prayer and the wonderful praise and the wonderful music and everything that has gone thus far. And we have prepared our hearts, and we are hungry for the Word of God. And I appreciate Brother Hood, and I want him to come, and whatever the Holy Ghost is telling him, I want him to talk to us about that tonight. Brother Hood, we love you. Appreciate you and Sister Hood. So glad you're here with us at New Life. We want you to take your liberty.
Hallelujah. I know we've done it a bunch, but why don't we go ahead and lift up our hands and worship Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, let's worship him all across the building. Lord, we love you, Jesus. We thank you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, if you feel him in this building, go ahead and worship him. If you don't feel him, go ahead and worship him until you do. God, I love you, Jesus. I praise you, God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Tonight. Amen. Just going to say how grateful my wife and I are to be here with all of you wonderful people. Amen. I love the saints of God. Amen. Anybody feel that way? Just love the house of God, the people of God. There's no place like being in the church. Amen. Give honor to your pastor, to his family. We enjoyed our time today. They took us to, amen, quite frankly, one of my favorite meals I've ever had in my life today. Amen. It was a very good meal. He walked out and said, what do you want? And he said, or I'll surprise you. He surprised me. And let me tell you what, he really surprised me. It was real good. Amen. Hallelujah. Here I am getting myself in trouble talking about food while people are in church. Hallelujah. Amen. If you turn in your Bibles to the book of John, chapter number 2. John chapter number 2. Amen. Thanking God for what he did this weekend, those that were filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'm believing that God can do the same, amen, tonight and even this weekend. Hallelujah. Amen. If you believe that, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. John chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1, maybe a familiar passage of scripture for some of us or most of us here tonight, but I'm hoping to bring what God gave me in prayer, amen, to this wonderful church. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted that the water was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worst. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. The scripture said that when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew. And I want to preach to us for a few moments on this subject, revelation by participation. Revelation by participation. Why don't you set your Bibles down, and one more time, let's go to the Lord and let's pray. Hallelujah, Lord, we love you, Jesus. Would you lift up your voice and just begin to talk to the Lord? God, speak to us tonight. Give us understanding. Give us wisdom. Give us revelation. In the powerful name of Jesus Christ, we'll give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Let's give the Lord one more hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Shake your neighbor's hand. Tell him God bless you, and you may be seated. Amen. Revelation by participation. The Bible lets us know in John chapter 2, a portion of scripture that if you've been in church any time at all, is probably a staple scripture to, amen, the Christian diet. It is something that we like to talk about, we like to quote, amen. It is a good reason that we do what we do when we read this scripture. It's a good reason that we go through it. And in fact, if you're visiting with us here today, I can't think of any verse to really start off your visitation here with than John chapter 2. Amen. It lets us know that there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and Jesus came with his disciples. And at this feast, it must have been a pretty packed feast. More people than they had anticipated. There came a moment where they ran out of wine. They ran out of a source to drink from. And they asked, his mother asked him that he could do anything. If you can do anything, go ahead and fix this situation, because we have run out of wine. And Jesus turns to the servants and tells them to go ahead, and I want you to fill those water pots all the way with water to the brim. And it is in this moment that they fill it up and they take this water that they know to be just water, and they bear it out to the governor of the feast. And as they bear it, they find out that the water was made wine. Amen. Can I tell you here today that the Bible lets us know that this was the beginning of miracles. This is what John wanted people to know as being the primary miracle that Jesus came to do.
I want you to notice, though, that Jesus already had all of his disciples. And in calling each of his disciples, he did things that most of us would consider to be supernatural miracles. When he called Peter, he told Peter, go ahead and let down your net. Go ahead and let down your nets, and you'll catch fish. But Peter looked right back at Jesus and said, we have toiled all night and we have caught nothing. Has anybody ever felt that way? When you work and you work and you work and it just doesn't work. When you give it your all and it just doesn't seem to be quite enough. And you seem to go and to go, and God just comes right by your way in the midnight hour and tells you, why don't you just go ahead and try it again? And I know there's a lot of people that would like to look up to heaven and say, I've done everything that I can. But can you have enough faith and enough courage to go ahead and try it again? I know that it's hard. I know that you've already done a lot of work, but when Jesus comes by, can you just drop those nets in? Hallelujah. I'll just preach to some folks for a moment. When you prayed and you prayed and you prayed and you don't see the answer, and things just don't seem to go the way that you expected them to go, and you've reached out and you've reached out and you reached out and you keep coming up empty. Jesus came to Peter and said, why don't you go ahead and try it again? And here he goes. He takes his net, singular. Jesus told him to put your nets in. And here he is, the little bit of faith he's got. He takes that little bit of faith and he drops his net and he pulls up so many fish that his boat began to sink. Amen. Jesus can fill even people. God can fill boats. God can fill people. God can fill all sorts of things. Amen. To the point where it'll make you feel like you're sinking. Amen. That's how the blessings of God really are. Hallelujah. When you're obedient to God, all of a sudden things from heaven start to work in your favor, and everything that you tried by yourself and it didn't work, when you start doing what God said to do, if you can just, all of a sudden God will fill up what you could never fill up, and God will work out what you could never work out. All it takes is a little bit of obedience to God, and when we're obedient to God, all of a sudden miraculous things can happen. Oh, let's worship him all across the building. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. He fills his boat, and yet this is not considered to be the first miracle. The Bible lets us know that he saw Nathanael while he was under a fig tree. When he could not see him physically, he knew exactly where he was. Can I tell you here tonight that even if you don't know where you are, even if you can't see God, God sees exactly where you are. Hallelujah. God is so good. And yet this miracle that I would consider to be a miracle for God is not really his first miracle. And then you see him calling to Matthew. Matthew's at a tax business. And we could go on and on about this all night. Matthew's at a tax business. And Jesus tells him to follow him. And he just up and leaves his business, leaves everything behind and follows God. And I've worked with people long enough to know, amen, that it's hard to get people to just follow what you say. And if I can think of anything being a miracle, that would be a miracle right there. Amen. But this was not considered to be the first most preeminent miracle that Jesus did. But here John wanted it to be known that when they ran out of wine, that there was coming forth a miracle. Can I preach it this way? Amen. That when they ran out of wine, Mary came to Jesus and recognized, we are on empty. We've got nothing left. And when there was nothing left, and when they were running on empty, and they didn't know where to go, Mary knew exactly where to go. When they couldn't go to the store, and there was no source here on earth, Mary said, I got one more place to try, and that could be where somebody's at tonight. You just thought to yourself, I'm on empty, and I've tried everything else, and nothing's worked, but I'm going to tell you, there's still one more thing you got to try. there's still one more place that you can go, and that's to the house of God. That's to Jesus's feet. And you can say, Lord, I don't have enough to make it to the end of the week. I don't got enough to make it through the end of this thing. And if you can find Jesus, all of a sudden when you didn't have enough, he makes it to where you got more than enough. Oh, let's worship the Lord all across this building. Let's go ahead and give God some praise. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus starts his first miracle by telling them, fill the empty water pots with water. And Jesus often will fill things. He'll fill Peter's boat. He'll fill water pots. Amen. He starts out in John chapter 2 filling empty water pots. And then it all ends up in Acts chapter 2 where he's filling empty people. And I'm going to tell you, that's something that God's still interested in doing. God is not interested in leaving you on empty. If you're on empty here tonight, you're in the perfect place, because it's in this place where you can come to Jesus. And there's just something in the nature of God that looks down and says, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled. You'll be filled if you're on empty and you come to the throne of God. If you can come to God and you don't know how it's going to work out, if you can just make it to the feet of Jesus, all of a sudden he will fill it. Amen. Let's lift our hands and let's worship the Lord all across this building. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is anybody glad for the day that God filled up your empty soul? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. But it was here that Jesus performed his first most preeminent miracle. And it was that he took this water and it was made wine. Because John wanted it to be known that the first miracle Jesus ever did was changing things. Because quite frankly, that's what God does. God changes things. But he didn't just take this water and make it cleaner water, but he took it and he even changed the molecular structure of this water. Amen. God is not interested in coming into somebody's life and just cleaning them up a little bit. God is not interested, amen, in putting a ring in the nose of a pig. God is looking at absolutely changing the nature of a man. That's why the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, all things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. John wanted it to be known that the reason Jesus Christ came is so that we can be changed from what we are into what we're supposed to be. You want to know why we come to church? Because we're still saying, Lord, I don't want you just to clean me up, but there's some areas of my life I need to be made new, and I got to be changed, and I need you to step in. And when people look at my life, they can't recognize what I came from. When people look at where I came, oh, let's worship the Lord all across this building and give God praise. Somebody just begin to worship Jesus. When they look at your life, let them not realize what it happened, but it was the miracle hand of God. Oh, let's worship him. Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord. When people look at you, they're not going to know, but God will know. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Thank God for his ability to change. Amen. He doesn't just change situations, and he doesn't just change things, and he doesn't just change water, but God changes people, and God changes lives, and God changes eternities, and God goes through and changes the things that we cannot change. God will go through and do in one moment's time what we could never do in 1,000 years. God will do in one altar call what would have taken us 40 or 50 years to accomplish. God can take somebody who's addicted to crack, amen, could not get off of it, and God will absolutely eradicate the need, and God will go through, and God will take somebody that just could not get free in all the AA they tried and all the NA they tried, and God will come through when Narcotics Anonymous wouldn't work, when the doctor didn't work, amen, when everything else didn't work, God still works. Oh, if you believe that, let's worship Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. And here we are. Jesus turned water into wine. And the Bible lets us know that they that bear the water out to the governor of the feast, he didn't even know what had happened. And here he begins to drink, amen, what they thought was water, and he knew to be wine. And everybody partook, but it was only the servants that had a revelation of the rest of the story. Everybody had partaken of the water that was made wine and thought to themselves, wow, this is great. I don't even know what store you went to. And they didn't realize how all of this had happened. But here, it was those that had served that realized the rest of the story. They knew that this was not just any ordinary water. The Bible lets us know that this was the water that was set for the purifying of the Jews. This was not just a water pot that you used to water your plants, but this was water that the Jews would use, that they would wash their hands and they would wash their feet. This was the dirtiest and filthiest of water. This was water, amen, that was to take and to help you become ritually pure. This was what the Jews would consider to be a mikvah. It was a washing. It was an Old Testament form of baptism. They would go, and Jesus even came into an encounter where Mark says that they wouldn't do anything except they first wash themselves, except they first wash their hands. Now, let me tell you, there's some Bible customs we need to hold on to. Hallelujah. Nothing wrong with washing your hands. Amen. Thank God for that. Leave church and wash the fellowship off. Amen. But this water, amen, was a basin. They didn't have running water like we got today. They had this basin of water. It was the same kind of basin that Jesus would take and begin to wash his disciples' feet, amen, and stand up and say, you call me Lord, and you do well, but as I've done to you, do also unto your brethren. And this water, they knew it was filthy. They knew it was dirty. They knew that as Jewish people, you're not allowed to drink this water. You're not allowed to ingest this water, because in this water is the filthiness of mankind. In this water, there is dirty. In this water, it's got contaminants that we're not allowed to drink of. And yet the servants heard what Mary had told them. Whatever Jesus tells you to do, just do it. I think that's a good lesson for us here tonight, that whatever God is saying, you just gotta do something. You just gotta be obedient to what he said. Hallelujah. Now let's be real. They knew this is something we're not supposed to do. They recognize that we're probably breaking some law here. We shouldn't be giving out this water. Somebody might get sick. But they heard that Mary had told them, you just do whatever Jesus tells you. Can I tell you, if you're going to live for God, it's going to take some guts. Being obedient to God takes some guts. Anybody that tells you living for God is for chumps and living for God is just something that is for the simple-minded, they got another thing coming. Sometimes God will ask you to do things, amen, that absolutely seems radical and seems extreme. It takes somebody that says, you know what, God, it doesn't matter how crazy it seems. I heard your voice, and I'm going to do what I heard. And it was the servants that drew the water that knew what really happened. Amen. In our generation here tonight, we're living in a generation that has got something known as the participation award, the participation trophy. Now, I'm not hating, but I will be honest. They invented this participation award, and really, it had good intentions. The intentions were right. They were hoping that by inventing this participation award, that it would encourage more people to participate. It would encourage further participation. And they thought that if we can give out a participation award to little Timmy as he plays Little League soccer, that maybe by first grade, he'll jump into the next soccer and maybe second grade and all of that. Well, what they didn't realize on the flip side is that this participation Participation Award would breed a generation of people that feel entitled to everything. They feel like they deserve a first place trophy just for showing up. Hallelujah. Amen. They think that, you know what, I showed up to work today, maybe I'll get a raise. I worked 20 hours this week, maybe I'll just go ahead and take a vacation next week. It's just the generation that we're living in. And this participation trophy and award mentality will come in and get people to think just because I showed up that I deserve all of this. Now, I will tell you on the flip side of that, there's something to it. There's something to this mentality of participation that I see in the Bible as being something that is actually extravagant. It's actually a great thing. There's something about participation. See, there will never necessarily be somebody come by and pat you on the back for what you do. You may never get a stamp. You may never get a golden star or a sticker. You may never get the pastor taking you out to dinner and saying what a great job you did. And you may never have anybody sing your praises, and you may not get a party. And you know what? If this generation, they think they deserve a party. But you know what? It doesn't always happen that way. You don't necessarily get a party just because you showed up and all of those things. But there is an award that goes to participants in the kingdom of God. Amen. It may not be man that sings your praises, and it may not be man that comes by and gives you an award, and it may not be man that comes by and says, wow, what a great job, but there is an award that comes from heaven by those that participate in the kingdom of God. He said there is a crown of righteousness laid up. Paul said we run this race that we can obtain a crown. We are doing what we do because we know at the other side of this, there is something waiting for us. Oh, let's worship the Lord all across this building and just begin to give God some praise. Oh, come on, let's praise Him for a moment. Hallelujah. There is a trophy. There is an award. It may not be this side of heaven, but there will be one on the other side. Oh, let's worship Jesus and give Him great praise. Hallelujah. But I want to preach to this church about a participation trophy you can have this side of heaven. Thank God that one day we're going to get on the other side and He's going to wipe all tears from our eyes. And thank God we're going to walk on streets of gold. But I'm going to tell you, there is an award that goes to the participants. I'm not just talking about the partakers and people that just show up, but those that participate in advancing the kingdom and those that participate in making God's kingdom work. There is an award in this life, and it's called revelation. There is a revelation to those that are participants of the kingdom. Oh, yes, let's lift up our hands and let's worship Jesus. Oh, come on, somebody. I promise we're going somewhere here tonight. But there's somebody that before we get there, you just got to get your spirit ready and just begin to pray. Hallelujah. Come on, let's worship Him. Hallelujah, Jesus. Here we are, God. We are participating in Your kingdom. And God, we are looking for that blessed hope. But until then, God, give us wisdom and understanding and revelation. Oh, thank You, Jesus. It was in John chapter 3. When Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night and begins to ask Him, who are you? Where'd you come from? What's going on? And before Jesus ever answered that question, He began to divert him. Amen. And he said, Nicodemus, he said, just so you know, amen, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What He's telling Nicodemus is, Nicodemus, I could tell you where I came from. I could tell you what I've come to do. Amen. But except you do something about what I just told you, you'll never understand any of it. Amen. Can I tell you, there is a participation award for those that are doers of God's word. Amen. Those that are doers in the kingdom of God. He told Nicodemus, if you do something about this, on the flip side, just so you know, if you are born again, you will see. If you are born again, you will understand. If you are born again, you will have a revelation. Jesus is saying, if you'll be a doer of my word, you'll understand it. Let me bring it home for some folks. You don't understand why the church is the way that the church is. You'll never understand until you take the word that you've heard and do something about it. I don't understand worship. Well, guess what? If you never worship, you'll never get a revelation about worship. If you never do it, you'll never understand it. Oh, let's worship God all across this building. Oh, come on, somebody. Let's just begin to worship Jesus and give God some praise. Come on, somebody. We got to be doers of his word. And when we do what Jesus says, then we'll have the understanding as to why he said it. When he says, just go ahead and trust me. If you can just obey that word and trust him, not seeing, not knowing, and just take that water pot and pour it out, God will give you a revelation. Oh, let's lift up our hands and let's worship the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. That's why James put it this way. James said, but whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of this work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. A lot of people want to be blessed, but they don't want to be obedient. They want to get a hold of everything God has for them. And they think, well, preacher, I'll go ahead and do it when it makes sense. And I'll go ahead and obey what I feel like God's spirit is nudging me to do when it all makes sense. Amen. But if the servants would have waited to have an understanding, if the servants would have waited, amen, for Jesus to explain why he said to do what he said to do, there would have never been water turned into wine. And if we don't get that revelation, God, I may not understand everything you're telling me to do in this season, and I'm just gonna be obedient and do what you said. I will be blessed in. Oh, let's lift up our hands and let's worship Jesus. Hallelujah. There is an award for people that are participants, that do the word of God, that are obedient to the word of God, that say, Lord, I heard you say it, and whether I understand it or not, I'm going to be a doer of the word. Oh, let's lift up our hands and let's worship him all across this building in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm going to participate by doing your word. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. It was when they were in the middle of a wilderness, amen, that they had no bread. They had no provisions. And here Jesus is. He's got all these people to feed and nothing to feed them with. And Jesus looks and says, can you find any food? Do we got any food? And it was the disciples that said, Lord, we don't got enough money to run into the market and to buy enough food to even feed a fraction of these people. Now, I'll just stop and tell somebody here today, amen, on the outset of what I'm about to say, that Jesus Christ is the one that the devil tempted and said, if you really are who you say you are, go ahead and turn these stones into bread. Jesus is known as the bread of life. We know that in the book of Exodus, amen, it was God Almighty that followed them in the wilderness and began to pour out manna from heaven. We know God's a provider. We know that God can turn inanimate things into sustenance. It's God that can take a raven and bring forth bread to a prophet. God can come through and God can provide. But Jesus was looking out and saying, is there anybody that can give me what they have so I can do what they cannot? He wanted to know, is there a participant here in the wilderness that's willing to trust me even though they don't see it and don't? Oh, let's worship him. There is a participation revelation for those that are givers in the kingdom of God. They give of their time, of their energy, of their money, and everybody might think that's absolutely dumb, but you know, like nobody else knows, that God will provide and that God will multiply. Oh, let's worship him all across the building. Oh, Jesus. Oh, let's praise him. Let's praise him. I'm going to stop right here for a moment. Come on, somebody. Let's worship him. Come on. You don't understand giving. Amen. Sometimes you got to give. Amen. So you understand it. Just drop it in and trust that God will multiply the little fish and the little loaves. Oh, let's worship him. Let's worship him. You may be seated. You see, everybody else took the fish and the loaves that was broken and they ingested it and they partook of it and they enjoyed it and they were filled up and they were fed. But only that little boy knew that it was his mama that packed the lunch. Only that little boy knew just how small, amen, that fish really was. Only the little boy really had a revelation about how little those loaves of bread were. And can I tell you, it's about those that are givers in the kingdom of God that know about God's ability to take the little bit and stretch it, take the little bit and multiply it. They got a revelation. They got a revelation that people that just partook never had, because they participated in the miracle and said, God, here's what I got. It's not much, but they watched as God took what they had and made it what they did not have. And they watched as God took what they saw as small and insignificant and watched God make something out of it. Oh, let's lift up our hands and worship Jesus. Let's worship Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, come on, I feel the Holy Ghost. Whatever he says, just do it. Whatever Jesus says, just do it. Amen. It might have been your lunch, but throw that lunch in the hands of the master and watch God feed the multitudes. It might not be much to you, but it's all that much to God. Oh, somebody lift up their hands and just begin to worship the Lord. Come on, somebody, I feel the Holy Ghost. I didn't come to preach a pretty sermon, but this is where I've come to preach. Amen, to this church. There's some folks, you're good people, but the truth is, amen, sometimes we don't know if God's going to come through. I've just come to tell you, it's the only place in the Bible where God said, prove me herewith. He didn't say, prove me in miracles. He didn't say, prove me with signs and wonders. He said, you give to me what's your increase. You give to me and you want. I'll open the windows of heaven and I'll pour out so much that you don't have room to receive. There's just something about a giver that knows that God can do the impossible. Why don't you lift up your hands and let's worship God. It's those that give God worship. The Judases don't understand you. It's those that break that alabaster box. They say, what a waste. But God sees it as being fragrant worship. You got a revelation that the Judases don't have. You got a revelation. Oh, let's lift our hands and let's worship the Lord. Oh. Oh, come on, I feel the Holy Ghost. There's a revelation that comes by participation. And there's some people, you've just been worried, amen, that it's not going to work out. And so you hold on to what you got. I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about your life. I'm talking about your energy. I'm talking about the things that you know God has called out of you. Amen. And you're still holding on to them because you don't know how things are going to work out. I'm going to tell you, you'll get the revelation if you participate. I don't understand it right now, but there's people that are hungry. I don't understand.
understand it right now, why we got to pick up this big building and why we got to remodel all this. But can I tell you, there's people that are hungry, and I don't understand why we got to go into another building fund and another program and another this and another that. There's people that are hungry, and that's why we do it. And when we get on the other side and God's filled the balcony and God's filled the building, the servants, the participants, the givers will know, will have a revelation. Oh, lift up your hands and just worship Jesus. Come on, let's stand all across the building and lift up our hands and just begin to worship God. I feel Jesus in this place. I feel the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. I don't understand it, preacher. That's all right. Just be a participant and you'll get a revelation. A revelation the world can't take. A revelation that a trial can't distribute. Oh, let's pray. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, new life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. God is saying, I mean, I know you worked, and I know you worked, but can you keep on working? I know you gave. I know you gave, but can you keep on giving until they're fed? Oh, let's lift our hands and let's worship Him. Oh, Jesus, I feel the Holy Ghost. Two more things and I'm done. There is a revelation by participation of those that are servants. A revelation by participation by those that are doers. A revelation by participation of those that are givers. Amen. But can I tell you, the Bible lets us know, Paul speaking, he said that I might know Him in the power of His resurrection and in the fellowship of His sufferings. Amen. There's a lot of people that want to know God in the good. A lot of people that want to know God, amen, in His power when everything seems to be flashing lights. But Paul said, I just got to have more revelation about God. And it doesn't matter what I got to go through to understand more about God. Is there anybody in this building that you want to know God more than you did before? You want to know more about God than you ever have? Paul said, no matter what it costs me, I got to know Him. I got to have a revelation. And even if I got to participate in the midst of His sufferings, I will endure. There is a revelation for those that endure unto the end. Can I preach to somebody? You feel like you're going through a trial. You're like the disciples. You're in the boat and there's a storm going on and you don't know how you're going to make it out. The Bible lets us know that when they got to the other side, all of a sudden then they knew Him. They'd walk with Him all those years, but it wasn't until the storm, it wasn't until the trial that they recognized, now I know Him like never before. Now I know more about God. And when you were willing to go through the test and go through the trial, God will put a revelation there that all of hell cannot destroy and all of this world cannot take, because you've been with God in the midst of pain and you stood with God in the midst of suffering and you endured hardness as a good soldier. There are people here tonight, you have endured hardness, you have endured pain, you have endured trials, you have endured tribulations, but we do not know like you know what God has done for you. We don't know how God strengthened you when you felt like falling down. We don't know how God made a way like you know that God has made a way. It's a revelation for those that endure. And then the Bible tells us one last thing. There was a man by the name of Simon the Cyrenian. He was just sitting there with all the spectators watching Jesus walk up a hill. And they compelled him. Why don't you come and help Jesus move this cross forward? Can you help Jesus move the cross forward? He's the first person we know in the Bible actually got the blood of Jesus Christ on his life. Hallelujah. Amen. He picked up that bloody cross, and he could have stayed in the crowd. He could have just kept watching as Jesus did all the work saving the world. But there was something that they compelled inside of Simon that says, you know what? I refuse to let that man walk up the hill all by himself and save the world all by himself. Somebody here tonight, you'll get a revelation. Amen. His sons later became preachers in the church in the book of Acts. Amen. Can I tell you what? There's just some revelations that only come by participation. And if you can say, Lord, put a burden on my heart, and you carry that burden, I will help the salvation of the world. Give me a Bible study. Give me a door to knock. I'll move this thing forward. Church, let's pray. I'm done preaching. Come on, let's pray. The servants knew. The servants knew. You'll know, amen, when you look back on it all, how God made a way where there was no way. You'll know like nobody else knows, because you did something about what you heard, because you gave to the master, because you helped him move the cross forward. You'll know because you participated in the miracle. Oh, come on, let's pray all across the building. Would you empty out your pews? Tonight's a night where somebody just says, Lord, put that burden on my heart, whatever it might be, to take your word and do something about it, to go knock a door, to teach a Bible study, whatever the case may be, to endure the season that I'm going through right now. Help me move this cross forward. Help me move this burden forward. I'll be a helper. And when you help Jesus, when you serve Jesus, when you walk with Jesus, you'll get a revelation about Jesus. Oh, let's pray, church, all across the building. Come on, somebody. God is pulling some people, amen, to strengthen their commitments. God is pulling to some people to strengthen their convictions. God is pulling to some people. You'll understand it. You'll understand it. But first, you got to participate in the miracle. Come on, that's it. God is touching people all across this building. Lord, I'll be a participant. Just help me understand when I get done. Help me look back on my life and know I went through that so I can know more about you.
So you can use me. I give myself away.